Hey, it's Miriam, and welcome to City Girls Who Talk, a show dedicated to women navigating the hustle and bustle of city life. Each episode brings conversations with trailblazers, creative minds, and inspirational figures. They'll encourage us to embrace life fully, live healthier, connect more, and ignite our passions. Make sure to subscribe to our YouTube, Spotify, and Apple podcasts so that we can continue to bring you the good stuff. Here we go. Hi, City Girls. I'm your host, Miriam, and today we're talking about human connection and the importance of sexual connection to our overall sense of well-being. Dr. Molly Maloof is a longevity expert, a best-selling author, and has recently launched the Adamo Method. She's here to tell us what it is and why we need to pay more attention to how we connect to ourselves and each other. Hi, Dr. Molly. How are you?
So nice to see you again.
Likewise. Today we're going to talk about something a little different, about human connection and how we can connect more and why that's important. And as women, what are the things we should be looking at, especially when it comes to our hormonal and sexual health, and why all of those things are connected to our overall sense of well-being. So tell me a little bit about what's top of mind for you these days when it comes to human connection.
Well, when I was teaching at Stanford for a few years, I had a course on health span. And there was one lecture that really, when I was designing it, I was like taken aback. I was like, oh my God, I've literally overlooked the number one factor in longevity and happiness, which is close personal relationships. And that basically loneliness was worse for people's health than smoking, drinking, sedentary behavior, and obesity. And I was like, how the heck did a doctor who's been studying the science of health for a decade miss the elephant in the room? And that's when I decided to start this company, Adamo Bioscience. Adamo means to fall in love in Latin. And I wanted to study the science of love. And then I was like, well, love is a very taboo term. It's a term that has a lot of different definitions. So I was like, I'm going to go down the scientific path and I'm going to study love from the perspective of evolutionary biology. So I found this researcher, Helen Fisher, and she had been studying love and trying to understand what it was in a biological sense. And she discovered that it was really these three main biological drives. The first is the sex drive, which is the drive to have sex with multiple partners and to find a partner. And then there's a drive called romantic love, the romantic love drive. And this drive is what drives people to bond and almost become addicted to a single partner. It's like it's an actual biological commitment device, so that if you have a child with this partner, you're more likely to stay attached to them. So then there's a drive to attach. Mm-hmm. And that attachment drive is also the same neurobiology. So there's parent-child bonds, there's partner bonds, there's familial bonds, and there's social bonds. And so we need all three drives in order to perpetuate the species. Because if you think about it, it makes sense that if you have sex, fall in love, and have a child and build a family, you actually are more likely to survive because you have more bonds. Mm-hmm. And the more people you have in your life that you love and trust, the more information and resources that you share. Now, if you're isolated and alone, and you get sick, you may not have the resources available to help you get through a major challenge, right? So this is why social bonds are so important. And we actually evolved them for a reason. We were supposed to be living in tribes. So when I really discovered this really important part of health, I started changing my life around this area. I was like, I'm going to start building a big community. I'm going to start working on maintaining my communities in different cities. And I'm like way more social than the average person. But I really put a lot of emphasis on community building. And then my company, we were trying to figure out what is the first product we're going to launch. And the first thing we decided to work with was something that nobody had done in like 60 years, which was develop a new sex therapy. So we designed a new therapeutic modality to help people with sexual dysfunction, to help people improve sexual satisfaction, to improve relational, basically to improve intimacy and emotional closeness, and to see if we can make any dents on attachment. So we really wanted to develop a intimacy method that can be tested on couples. And so we ran our first cohort on about 110 people. We're about to see the results come up soon because we're finishing the cohort in a couple weeks. And just, social bonds and social connection. And, essentially sex education is very, very, very poor in this country. And as a result, most people are learning their sexual habits through pornography or through partners. And unfortunately, that leads to a lot of people feeling dissatisfied and feeling disconnected and feeling honestly like sex is a performative act. I hired some phenomenal sex therapists, Aaron, Michael, and Saida Desolay, and said, look, you guys are not from the mainstream. Let's develop a new modality and let's see who's the best population this can help. And let's bring it to the world.
I love that. I mean, I find the topic of sexual health still very taboo. And as women, we really still struggle to honestly speak about it and also to come from a place of power and being a lead in that connection or in that sort of, you know, dynamic. And I think like being able to just even talk about it is one step, but we have a lot further to go. And also re-educating ourselves as a society, both men and women, on what healthy sex should look like. What is healthy? Because I think we've just let the markets decide, teach us what should look like healthy, but we've definitely veered off in the wrong direction.
There's a few really good books that I would recommend people read if they wanted to like learn about healthy sexuality. And one is Transcendent Sex and one is Magnificent Sex. And when you start reading like books on the topic of sex from people who study sex, they're not like Kardashian sexy. They're actually much deeper than what you find in the news. Mm-hmm. What we see on Instagram, what we see in pornography is very surface level sex. And it's not actually sexy because it's often rushed. It's often superficial. It's often very much oriented towards pleasing men. And it's not really oriented around what a woman wants and what a woman desires and woman needs. And, you know, really informed, conscious men are aware that there's this phrase, she comes first. There's a great book on the topic. But most men don't actually put women's sexuality first. And the reality is that our sex therapy is really not designed for just men and women. It's designed for gay, straight, cis, trans. It's really not really designed for a binary system, but there is this concept of being an active receiver and an adaptive giver. And that means that you're not just sitting there having sex with someone and receiving, you know, them into your body. It's actually you learning to actively bring a person inside of you. And then if you're a giver, it's not just about doing what you want to do. It's about attuning to this other person's body and listening to them and finding out, is this what they want to feel? Is this something that they enjoy? Is this something that they're liking? And unfortunately, a lot of people fake pleasure and they do that because they want to please their partner. But we're actually doing each other a very big disservice in like the performative sex. We actually all need to get actually slow. We just all need to slow down and really start to savor sex. Kind of like when you were in high school and you made out for hours before you even took your clothes off. You know, like we need to get back to that level of like, slow down, people. Let's take our time. Let's not rush into this. So there's a time and a place for a quickie. But I think what a lot of people are literally searching for is more connected sex and sex that feels like there's real intimacy being created. And that comes from just really attuning yourself to this other person and really starting to recognize that there's friction-based sex, which is what most people are experiencing, which can cause dryness and pain and challenge, especially older bodies and older women's bodies who may have lower estrogen levels, may have some vaginal atrophy. Friction-based sex, the solution is not just more lube. It's actually changing the way you have sex. So this is what the Adamo method is really all about. And it was pioneered by this guy, Aaron Michael, who basically coined the term suction sex. And suction sex is about learning to bring a partner inside of you with your body by learning to breathe with your pelvic floor and push out your pelvic floor and really enable a person to slowly enter you. And then instead of being so forceful and this in and out friction-based movement, it's about maintaining that connection, that physical connection and emotional connection by slowing down and really focusing on hip movements versus thrusting with the leg. So there's a time and a place for a quickie, but I think a lot of people are looking for something deeper and having way more connected, intimate experiences with their partners. So one of the things that we wanted to work on was designing a sex therapy and an intimacy method that was able to innovate above what currently exists. And right now, the current standard of care for sexual dysfunction is what's called sensate therapy. It was invented in the 60s. It's a very effective method, actually, for sexual dysfunction, specifically related to anxiety before sex. And basically what it does is it just takes sex off the table for a month with a partner and with partners, and they just engage in mindfulness-based sensual touch. Now, it doesn't really address the problems that come up during sex. So what I found is that if people take sex off the table for a little while, it can be great for enhancing intimacy, but when they start to have sex again, they can still struggle with penetration itself. So we designed the Adamo method originally because we wanted to be able to help individuals work on their own psychosexual development and then develop a new relationship to their partners through intimate connection. So the first few weeks of our method are really about this concept called sexual sovereignty and erotic individuation. So what does that mean? That means that you have a unique psychological perspective of what turns you on, and you also have a unique physiology of what makes you feel good. So there's a really great sex educator named Jaya, and I really love her program. And she's got this thing called the Erotic Blueprint. And basically what she describes is that people desire different things physically, but then there's different turn-ons that people have. So getting to know yourself as an individual is paramount before you can really connect to another person, you know? And then the second is that once you do engage in sexual connection, there's often this experience that people have where they just feel like their partner's just penetrating them. And that can be really painful, especially because a lot of sex is friction-based. And so friction-based sex can be really challenging because it essentially can cause a lot of dryness and cause a lot of soreness, pain, especially for women's bodies that are aging and they might be declining, they might be having declining estrogen levels, which can cause some atrophy of the vaginal lining. And that's no fun. And then there's men who struggle with, consistent erections as they get older. And we forget that actually it's normal for a penis to become erect and not erect during sex. It's not always going to be perfectly erect. So what we're trying to do is educate people with a new sex ed that's really based on a new science of sexual pleasure. And Aaron Michael is one of the two sex therapists that we discovered to really help us design this method. So Sayeda Desilet, her perspective on erotic individuation and sexual sovereignty was really what was the first part of this method. And then Aaron Michael, he taught me and he coined the term suction sex. So he's basically taught me this concept, which is that right now, if you experience this friction-based sex, it's like you're basically penetrated by your partner and it can be really painful and very, you know, problematic for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But when you have suction sex, you're actually learning as a receiver to bring a person into your body by learning to breathe with your pelvic floor and actually learn to bring in a partner. So you are the one engaging in the act of penetration. It's not just you being penetrated. The second part of it is if you are a giver, you're learning to attune your body to your receiver's needs. So you're not just pushing yourself inside someone, which is what a lot of women experience during sex. And it's no wonder they're not enjoying themselves, or even men who are gay. You may not enjoy the sex that you're having with a partner because it hurts. And I really think that if people learned that this method was available, they'd realize that there's actually a whole new landscape of pleasure available that's far more in tune with our body's design. So when you engage in suction-based sexual contact, it's less about thrusting with your legs and it's more about moving your hips together or in different directions in order to actually keep the connection physical, keeping that physical connection intact versus the sort of in and out motion that friction-based sex is all about. And it actually can create a lot more, it's a lot more sensuality. It helps you slow down and you can really achieve higher states of bliss with a partner when you realize it doesn't have to be this kind of forceful, aggressive, performative act that you see in porn.
How prevalent is sexual dysfunction in women? Like, I think based on stats?
About 30% of women are, it's really actually about 40% of women have some form of sexual dysfunction, but around, I think it's around 15 to 20% of them will actually get clinically diagnosed. So, you know, it's really a lot of women in our country that have sexual dysfunction. And, you know, it's really quite a lot. So different sexual dysfunctions have different prevalence, but like hypoactive sexual desire disorder, you know, is around 30% of women, which is like a pretty large percentage, which is I just don't want to have sex. And I think it's a combination of biological factors and psychological factors. Then there's things like sexual pain disorders and orgasmia. Just you can't have an orgasm easily. You know, those are the female sexual dysfunctions that are most prevalent.
Why is good sex good for us?
It seems to be correlated with improved longevity, largely because it enhances relationship quality. And also when you have sex and you orgasm, and even when you just have physical touch with someone, you get oxytocin released. And oxytocin is the bonding hormone, but it's also the hormone of the placebo response. So it's literally natural medicine. It can actually help you heal from painful experiences. So it's a natural healing tool that a lot of people overlook and don't realize is part of human flourishing. So I've been studying oxytocin neurobiology. One of my advisors, Sue Carter, discovered pair bonding and prairie voles. And it seems like oxytocin is the molecule of love being linked to longevity. So it turns out that oxytocin is protective to the mitochondria. So protective to the little batteries of our cells. And then it's also protective to the heart. So it's cardioprotective. It's an anti-inflammatory and an antioxidant. Mm-hmm. So it really does all the things you want it to do to make you feel and look younger for longer. And if you talk to couples that are really happy and healthy, they tend to age better. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because if you have a healthier relationship, you have less stress. And with less stress, you have healthier cells.
I think we often think like women, I think in some ways we've accepted that we could go the rest of our lives without, you know, a healthy sex life. And it's great that we're thinking about this a lot more and its implications on our well-being.
Yeah. So just to get back to like the statistics that you were asking about before, low sexual desire is probably around 20% of women. Orgasmic disorders is around 10 to 15% of women. Painful intercourse is between 8 and 21% of women. Vaginal dryness is 17 to 45% of women, which contributes to pain, lack of orgasm, and lack of desire. And then overall prevalence is probably around 40 to 50% of women. Mm. So it's really common. Didn't actually have the clitoris properly anatomically mapped until like the early aughts or so. And so it's, I think it was 2007, which is like not, it's like not long ago. Mm-hmm. And that means we didn't even understand female anatomy until last few decades, like, which is crazy.
I also think about like the aging, right? Like at 60, 70, can we not still have great sex?
Oh, great sex at 90 is even possible. I just think that we don't have, think about, you know, that old SNL skit where that woman's like, I'm 50, you know, and she's just like this, like wearing really high waisted elastic outfit. And she's just like got this crazy hairstyle. Now we look at J-Lo at 50, you know, we have skincare regimens, we have nips and tucks, we've got all sorts of dietary, you know, ways of living and aging well. I mean, we age so much better than we aged in the past. Like, I haven't had any plastic surgery, but I am 40 and I feel like I look younger now than I did even 5 years ago. And so like, you can age in reverse, but we're learning that it comes from the inside out. And it's all about maintaining cellular health and relational health. To me, it's all about the two pillars of health are energy metabolism and social connection. And if you can get those two things right, I don't care. All the men can go work on the small molecule interventions, the rapamycin, all those things. I'm convinced that we could get the most people healthier for longer if we focus on the basics. We focus on the things that women in particular have a lot of authority over, which is how we nourish the children and ourselves and our families and how we connect. Women are oxytocin dominant. We are designed for community, and women need to reignite that spark within ourselves to connect communities and people together, because that's what we're best at. Men are best at defense, aggression, and protection. That is what they're made for. Women are best for safety, trust, and love and nourishment, right? Like, we're designed for these things. So I don't care if you want to go into the whole gender world of, you know, I'm not going to have that argument about politics. I'm just going to talk about biology. Women and men are different, and we need to own our skill sets. We need to really amplify them. And so if you are naturally social and connecting, build a community around yourself. And like, I think this is something that I'm certain that anyone can learn, but it just hasn't been taught to us in schools. And so that's why we have so many kids that are sucked into their phone, disconnected from their friends and their families, and feeling alone and isolated. And we're seeing record levels of little girls having self-harm. I'm like, this does not have to be our lives, but we got to get kids off their phones. We got to get them into nature. They need to be playing outside. They need to be socializing, and they need to learn how to be human by being human, not by being automatons connected to computers and phones all day long.
And it starts with the adults. I mean, the adults need to get off their phone and to demonstrate.
I mean, that's why I moved here. That's why I moved to the mountains, because I wanted to live a life in alignment with nature. And I had lived in cities for so long, and I realized that there was a point where my nervous system didn't feel regulated in unsafe environments like San Francisco. San Francisco became Gotham City, and I no longer felt safe in my community. I felt safe with my friends, but I didn't feel safe in my environment. So when I learned about the generalized unsafety theory of stress, it's called GUTS. Basically, one of the biggest factors in nervous system dysregulation is just a general feeling of unsafety. If you feel unsafe in your environment, then you will have a dysregulated nervous system. And I learned that if I surround myself with people that I trust and I love, and I know my neighbors, and I feel connected to nature, my nervous system just relaxes. And I have a lot more energy available to do work. And I don't have to worry about nearly as much nonsense as I felt living in San Francisco. You know, it's taken me a decade plus, maybe 15 years. I started teaching health in medical school. I actually developed the first course on evidence-based lifestyle medicine at the University of Illinois College of Medicine. So I've been studying health for the large part of my career. And it's really crazy to turn 40 and feel like I finally have an understanding. I just finally feel like I know what I'm doing, you know, like I finally get it now. And it's like, it shouldn't have taken me this long, but if it's taken me this long, imagine how people are really struggling with understanding health.
We're glad you got here because now you can teach us how to do it.
That's what this next decade is about. It's actually about vastly simplifying a lot of my recommendations to people into digestible and absorbable information that doesn't require as much technology, that requires more harnessing your inner wisdom and your inner intuition. And, you know, and honestly, harnessing the power of nature.
For sure. Well, Dr. Molly, I could go on for a really long time, but where can people find the Adamo method and to find out more information?
You can find the Adamo method at www.livingadamo.com and at Living Adamo on Instagram. Follow me at drmolly.co on Instagram and www.drmolly.co on my website. We are launching our next cohort this spring. So we already have a bunch of people on the waiting list. And if you want to sign up and get in before it fills, do join us. We're really excited to have you. And we should have our clinical study results out in the next couple months as well.
I will look for those and I'll drop the links for the website and your contact information. In the city. Thank you for tuning in to City Girls Who Talk. Join us next time as we embark on our mission to make the city a little less lonely and empower women to live better. This show is brought to you by Better Humans Agency, JPod Creations, and Signalcast Studio.